ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bozeman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, Master, I brought unto thee my son, who hath a dumb spirit, and whensoever it taketh him, it dasheth him down. It is written, he foameth, and grindeth his teeth, and pineth away, and I spake to thy disciples that they should cast it out, and they were not able. It is written, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him grievously, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. Ask his father, how long time is it since this hath come upon him? And he said, from a child. And oft times it hath cast him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst, all things are possible to him that believeth. Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that's all. Brightly doth his spirit shine into this poor heart of mine. While he leads, I cannot fall. Trusting Jesus, that's all. Singing if my way is clear, praying if the path be drear. If in danger, for him call, trusting Jesus, that's all. Trusting him while life shall last, trusting him till earth be past, till within the jasper wall, trusting Jesus, that's all. Just a prayer away. And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message, Fire and Water. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us of an event in the life of Jesus when the Lord and Peter, James, and John came down from the mountain after the transfiguration. And a man came to him, pleading for the mercy for his son, who was possessed by a demon. The father described the plight of his only son with such terms as, suffer grievously, a dumb spirit in him, dashing him to the ground. On any moment, without warning, he was knocked to the ground and lay there wallowing, foaming, grinding his teeth. The spirit tore him much. He always had open wounds and bruises on his body. Crying out suddenly any time in any company, he might scream for no apparent reason. And then, worst of all, without warning, the devil would shove him into the fire. And while crying out for pain, throw him in the water. And saddest of all, this treatment has been going on since the boy was a child. The father said he had brought his son to the 9 apostles for healing, and they could not do it. The multitude that stood around questioned the apostles as to why they couldn't do something. That is a favorite ploy of the unbelievers. It makes them feel good to blame the Lord for the failure of his disciples. They may come to the church looking for answers and don't get any answers. Or they may get the answers they want, but not the answers God wants. In either case, the church has no answers because they don't want any answers. And then the Lord, Jesus, was very merciful to this boy. The boy's father said, "If thou canst do anything, have mercy on us and help us." Jesus repeated the words of the father, "If thou canst." Straightway the father cried out, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." That is a statement that many of us need to make. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Some things in the Bible are hard to understand. How can God be one and yet three in one? Well, just read it again and say, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." And now in this story, the boy who fell in fire and water provides many points of interest concerning the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ during his sojourn on earth with the sons of men. Jesus must have a special compassion in regards to this particular boy. For one thing, the father obviously loved his son. And Jesus fully understood a father's love for a son. At the baptism of Jesus, as he came up out of the water, the voice of the Father from heaven announced, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Another reason for the special interest of Jesus for his son is the fact that he was the only son of his father. And Jesus was well aware of John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. A talk show host was asked, if he could interview God, what question would he ask? The talk show host said, "I would ask God if he had a son or a daughter." That would be a useless question. God never had but one son, and he had no daughters. Another reason Jesus was very interested in this boy was because the father said the demon had been working on his son from a child. Jesus could identify with that, because the devil tried to destroy him when he was a small child, when King Herod slew all the male children that were in Bethlehem from 2 years old and under. In fact, the devil tried to destroy Jesus by abortion, when Caesar Augustus made the decree that all the world should be enrolled, thereby making the long trip, about 70 miles, for Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem necessary at such a critical time. And in addition, we know he would be especially concerned when we remember how he said in Matthew 18:10, "See that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven." Another evidence of the concern of Jesus for the boy was the advice he gave the father. He said, "Bring him to me." That was the best advice he could give to any father. Bring him to me. If you want a demonstration of the value of that statement of Jesus, just go to the mall in a big city and watch the young people passing by, and in some cases, it's enough to make your skin crawl. Many parents may scrimp and save to give their child the best of everything. Send them to the best college, and yet, if they have not brought them to Christ, no one can truly be educated who has no knowledge of the Word of God. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, summed up the total of a wisdom of a lifetime when he said in Ecclesiastes 12, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Again, the story of the boy who fell in fire and water enlightens us concerning the compassion of Jesus when he was brought to the Lord. "And the Lord commanded the demon to come out of him and enter no more into him." At that moment the demon came out, and as he did, he cried out and tore him much, and he became as one dead, insomuch the more part said he was dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up. We might wonder why the demon, when told to come out, took one more whack at the boy and tore him much. No doubt it must have been because Jesus told him never to enter into the boy again. And the demon knew this was his last chance at him. This reminds us of the statement of Revelation 12. "Woe to the earth and to the sea, because the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time." So throwing down the boy one more time was because he knew this was his last chance he would ever have to harm him. He knew his time was short. Does that not also speak to us? Could it be that the devil seems to be working harder today than ever before, because he knows his time is short, and he wants to do all the damage he can to the human race, especially God's people, before the end comes? Of course, we also need to consider that our time is also short. James reminds us of the brevity of life in James 4 when he says, "Come now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into this city, spend a year there, and trade and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? For ye are as a vapor that appeareth for a short time, and then vanisheth away." Our time is short. And Peter adds his comment in 1 Peter 1, "All flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth, but the word of God abideth forever." Our time is short. Then remember the word of Jesus in Luke 12:20. "Thou fool, this night is thy soul required of thee." Ladies and gentlemen, our time on earth is short. Then the boy, thrown in the fire and water, speaks again, as the event informs us, that the abuse of this boy thrown into the fire and water is the devil's overall plan for the human race. We have all heard, at one time or another, of the flood in the days of Noah, but perhaps never connected it with the devil. It was because of the influence of the devil the flood was brought on the earth. In Genesis 6:12, God told Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me." And then he gave the reason for that decision. "The earth is filled with violence. The wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And all flesh had corrupted itself." These are the moral conditions of the world at that time, and because of this, God declared, "The end of all flesh is come before me. Because, behold, I do bring a flood upon the earth to destroy all flesh, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." It was because of the devil that all humanity, except the family of Noah, was cast into the flood and died in the water. The devil was still trying the water treatment during the days of the apostles. There were at least two times when he tried to destroy the apostles by water. During the ministry of Jesus, when they were threatened by vicious storms that threatened the lives of experienced seamen. The only thing that saved them was the presence of Jesus in the boat the first time. And the second time, the Lord just happened to be walking by that night on the water and hitched a ride. Then there was also Paul, who had a few bouts with the devil, who tried to drown him. Three times, he said, he was shipwrecked. And another time, he was a day and night in the deep. I don't know what that means. It sounds like he was having somewhat of a Jonah experience. But it is enough for us to know the Lord saved him from drowning in the water. The casting of the boy into the fire is nothing new either to the devil. Did he not cast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace of Nebuchadnezzar? And only the presence of Jesus in the fire with them saved them. And then there are several statements of Scripture that indicate the Christian will have a fiery time of it today. In Ephesians 6:16, Paul tells us to take up the shield of faith, whereby we may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. We are all aware that many of the temptations of the devil can be very fiery and hot. And that reminds us of the statement of James regarding the tongue. Behold, how much wood is kindled by so small a fire. And the tongue is a fire. The world of iniquity among our members is the tongue, which defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the wheel of nature, and is set on fire by hell. As Christians, we cannot escape the devil's fire in our life on earth. Did not the Scripture tell us in 1 Peter 4:12, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you, which cometh upon you to prove you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But then remember the words of the same apostle also in 1 Peter 1, The proof of your faith being more precious than gold that perisheth, though proved by fire, may be found unto praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil will always hold our feet to the fire. But it is enough to know we can come through this life victorious as long as the Lord walks with us, even as he did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And now for the most prominent lesson from the story of the boy who fell in fire and water is found in 2 Peter 3. In verses 5 and 7 we read, For this they willfully forget, that there were heavens from of old, compacted out of water and amidst water, by the word of God, by which means the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. And the heavens that now are, and the earth, by the same word, have been stored up for fire, being reserved against the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. Peter said they willfully forgot the flood back in that day. Many today have willfully forgotten the flood today. But this should not trouble the Christian, because there were millions who did not believe there would be a flood in the days of Noah. Not until they found themselves swimming around in about 20 feet of water did they come to the conclusion that maybe old Noah had something there after all. It was because of the violence, corruption, evil thoughts continually, and rejection of the Word of God, the flood came and destroyed them all, and the same Word that predicted the flood has predicted destruction of the world by fire today for the same reasons. However, Peter warns that this prediction will fall on unbelieving ears. Hear him as he declares in the third and fourth verses, knowing this first, that in the last days shall mockers come with mockery, walking after their own ungodly lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For from the days the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation until now. And then in the 10th verse, after telling us that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day, he informs us, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Then Peter tells us about that great day when he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with terrible heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Ladies and gentlemen, Peter had never seen a firecracker. He had never seen dynamite. Yet his words seem strangely like some of the terms we read every day and see on television. If Peter were living in the flesh today, the nuclear scientists might want to pick his brain. They might learn something. Now then, in the 11th verse, he encourages the Christian when he says, seeing that these things are thus to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you also to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. It seems to us, as we consider these events prophesied by the inspired apostle, that we are living today on a powder keg that could blow any time. And yet the apostle rightly reminds us that the Christian needs to long for that day and earnestly desire the coming of the day of God. For times like these, the best device in Scripture for the unsaved is Amos 4:12. Prepare to meet thy God. Hosea 4:12. It is time to seek the Lord. In Jeremiah 37, King Zedekiah asked the prophet, is there any word from the Lord? Jeremiah said, there is. Peter gave that word the day the church began, when he told those who believed the story of the cross, repent ye, and be baptized every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it is written, so let it be done. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just Prayer Away radio program brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bozeman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbozeman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, and until next week at this same time, if there is another next week, tell somebody somehow and in some way that God is just a prayer away.
God is just a prayer away.